News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Yesterday, the EMA concluded that the benefits of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine continue to outweigh the risks. This is after the concerns around their safety over blood clots, this kind of rare complication we also saw with the AstraZeneca vaccine. And for more on all of this, I'm joined now by Dr. Mary Favier, COVID-19 advisor to the Irish College of General Practitioners and member of NEFET. Mary, where are we at? I mean, I think the general public are a little confused and not unworried by all the chopping and changing and indeed all the talk they hear of safety concerns around these vaccines.
It's easy to understand why the public are concerned or on heightened alert when they hear these type of things, but it's entirely understandable. And as general practitioners, we are answering many, many, many questions around all vaccines, but particularly AstraZeneca. And predictably, in the next few days, it'll be about the Janssen, Johnson & Johnson. And that's fine. People have understandable concerns. It's very important that people see vaccines as safe. And the reality is that they are. So the EMA, you know, in proportion to how beneficial they are. So the EMA, when it was ruling yesterday on Janssen, Johnson & Johnson, demonstrated that the benefits so far outweigh the risks. So they have added a caution into the product detail around some risk of clotting, not as significant as AstraZeneca, but they've added that this is for people like us as general practitioners, if we might be administering this vaccine, which is not planned at the moment for GPs, that we would have an understanding of this. So caution, we will now have NIAC, our own immunisation committee, will give us an opinion on what we should do, but very good news and good progress.
Okay. Just to clarify for people who are listening, and I know that there is concern, the risks with both AstraZeneca and the Janssen vaccine are in the magnitude of in and around 1 in 1 million of this happening. It may be slightly higher for AstraZeneca, maybe 4 in 1 million, but it's still minuscule risks. Do you think it's been overblown? Do you think that the level of, I suppose, fear and trepidation around this that has been stirred up has been a mistake?
I'm not sure we'd call it a mistake. I think people have had lots of understandable concerns, but I think it's really important now that we reassure and we continue to roll out the vaccination. The risks are truly very, very small, and even smaller again now with Janssen, Johnson & Johnson compared to the benefits of vaccination. There was a publication through the BBC yesterday in the UK that of 75,000 people admitted since October there with COVID disease, only 32 people had been vaccinated. That's absolutely extraordinary in terms of how effective vaccination is. And they've used all AstraZeneca. So really, really important. The other thing is that we now have much better idea about how to recognize these side effects like the clotting disorders with AstraZeneca. So while they were fatal in the past, that's much less likely now because there's a heightened vigilance amongst general practitioners looking at people in the 2 weeks after vaccination if they get things like a headache, yeah, and then in our emergency departments and on from there.
And it's treatable. We should point out that this particular type of clotting disorder is treatable with immunoglobulins. It's a different type of clotting disorder, but it isn't necessarily a fatal fait accompli. Can I ask you, we're hearing now that the figure that we have been clinging all of us to for quite a long time, 80% of adults vaccinated by June, that's probably blown out of the water. Is it not the case that if we were to lower the age at which we were giving the vector vaccines and to lengthen the interval of which we were giving the mRNA second doses at, that we could still hit that and that we shouldn't give up on that too easily?
I think they're laudable targets, but I think safety has to always come first. And so NIAC will make those recommendations about changing intervals or lowering ages. From a general practitioner point of view, we've really been very successful in rolling out all our over 70s. We're now largely into the final doses of those, and they will be complete in the next 2 to 3 weeks. We will then be giving the high-risk doses to those under the age of 60, and that program will be completed by the beginning of July. And just to add, this has really caused a lot of workload in general practice.
I'm sure.
And to ask people to be patient, and that, but it will be coming to an end at the beginning of July.
And can I ask just a last question? We've heard about shortages of supply with AstraZeneca. Have GPs been informed about, I suppose, that never mind all the guidelines and the that have been changed and chopped and changed, but with regard to supply chains for GPs, is there clarity around that for you at the moment?
there's clarity around our over 70s doses, and the communications around that have improved a lot, and we know what we're getting in advance. We have yet to fully establish what we're getting for our high risk groups. And it's been a problem in the past for GPs around guarantees of deliveries and doses yeah. arriving on time and having to cancel clinics. So we would absolutely hope that those doses for GPs can be ring fenced, because it causes so much disruption. Okay. GPs are not using AstraZeneca. That's in the mass clinics. There have been some difficulties, I understand, with supplies for that in the next week or two, but that's not affecting general practice.
Look, thank you for speaking to us this morning. That is Dr. Mary Favier, their COVID-19 advisor to the Irish College of General Practitioners and member of NEPHET.